Well, a few weeks ago, an article came out on Atlantic.com website. It was from a former White House staffer who was very much concerned about the hostility against faith in this country. And within that article was this quote, which I found quite interesting. And I quote, there's a lot of conversation in Christian circles about Jeremiah 29. Now, we'll be looking at that in a little bit, which is Jeremiah's letter to the exiles in Babylon. The message Jeremiah had and that the Lord had for the exiles is that they should seek the peace and prosperity of the city where they've been planted and multiply. They should maintain their convictions for the flourishing of others. And he went on to say, the concern I have, and that many others have, is that in this time of cultural transformation in America, you're going to have many evangelicals who just become Babylonians, unquote. What he was saying, basically, is that because of the attacks against religion are going to continue and have been so strong that many people will adopt the standards of this world. And that's what he was concerned about. Now, throughout the Bible, we do see admonitions and instructions avoiding being caught up in the world, in its teachings, and then losing our bearings. So let's go back to Jeremiah 29, and let's look at a couple verses here. And we'll look at verse 4. Beginning in verse 4, Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Now, this was a letter that Jeremiah wrote to those who are already in captivity in Babylon. And he writes, thus says the Lord of hosts, so this is from God, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and your daughters. Wives for your son and your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased and not diminished. So the message basically is, you are in captivity. You're not going to be leaving soon. So settle down. In captivity, you marry, you have your children marry, and then their children can marry. So they were to settle in this community in exile. Now, verse 7, seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away. Pray to the Lord for it, and in its peace you will have peace. So he's actually telling them to pray for the welfare of Babylon. Now, Babylon, unlike the Assyrians before them, they did not obliterate their vassal people. And so you have these exiles living there. Now, we won't turn there, but in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2, Paul tells Timothy basically the same thing, that we should pray for kings and those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So that's our admonition to pray for the peace, for the kings, so that we can lead a life of peace and quietness, and so that we can obey God in godliness and reverence. In verse 8 here we see that the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, said, do not let your prophets or your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. So there were false prophets in Babylon, as there are now in this world, in this age. And a warning that if you have a dream, don't be spreading it as doctrine or gospel. And so we find in verse 9 and 10, that you have this statement that they prophesy falsely to you. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. So here they're told how long they would be, for 70 long years. Verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. So God is reminding them, I have thoughts toward you, and I know what my thoughts are. Those are peace and not of evil. I'm going to give you a future, to give you a future and a hope. That's what's in the mind of God. And you will seek me and find me where you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So here we find the classic prophetic message from God. You see that God is going to correct and to chasten. And then he comforts and he talks about restoration. And then you find that God is going to bring them back. And we know that that was going to happen after 70 years. And so, in a sense, this is a dual prophecy because it did occur. They did return from captivity during the time of Ezra and during the time of Nehemiah. And yet this is to be fulfilled again in the future. So you and I live in this society with its secular teachings, with its beliefs, and we must not become Babylonians. Lest we think that can't happen, if we think that can't affect us, let's look at this scripture over here in Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. Now, Haggai is back over here in the Minor Prophets, right before Zechariah. Haggai 2, and let's look at this principle here. In verse 11, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Here's the question. You're carrying holy meat. He's talking to the priest. You're carrying holy meat. And if you touch anything that's there as you walk by, bread or anything, any food, will it become holy? And the priest answered. Said, no, it won't become holy. Then Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these things, will it become unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. There's a difference here. If you're carrying something holy and you touch these other things, you can't make them holy. However, if you're carrying or you're unclean and you touch them, they become unclean. It's a principle. Haggai is answering then and taking this and said, so is this people. So is this nation before me, says the Lord. So is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. The point is, God, of course, is holy. God's the only one that can make anything holy. We can't. We could have great examples, and we could do that, that's for sure. And we're supposed to have great examples. But only God can call someone. But the unclean can make anything it touches unclean. And that means the society can wear off on us. It can wear off on us, those of us who are holy and set apart by God. So what are we to do? We find over here in Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5. Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5. We've heard this before, and again, this is a principle. As we see that this all occurs in the end time, during the day of the Lord, that a voice that John heard from heaven says, "Come out of her, my people, out of Babylon, lest you share in her sins and you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." We know that God will intervene eventually. And his people Israel at the end times are told, you get out of Babylon, otherwise you're going to get receive all these plagues. But this is a responsibility that we have now. As the called out ones, as the holy ones of God, not that we made ourselves holy, God did that by giving us his Spirit. We have a responsibility that we do not become Babylonians. And that our comfort and our courage, encouragement should be coming from God, from his church, from among his people, and not from what is out in the world, which is deceived by the devil. This nation is divided culturally. I think we're aware of that. But even more so, and this is important to understand, we are even further removed from the evangelicals. The evangelicals believe in Sunday as a Sabbath. They keep, they believe in the Trinity. They believe in going to heaven, which we just heard in the sermonette. That's what they believe. We don't believe that. We're even further estranged from them. Sure, they are against abortion. Sure, they're against homosexuality. But God is going to be bringing about Jacob's trouble on this land, not only because of those sins, but because of the sins of idolatry. The Trinity is idolatry. If we really think about it, because you have God and the Word, who became Jesus Christ, and now Christ sits at his right hand, the Father's right hand, the Trinity obscures the true nature of God, the true nature of Jesus Christ. And this country is going to go into captivity because of not only idolatry, but the pollution of his Sabbaths, which we keep on Saturday. We're called Jewish because we do that. And because we keep his holy days. And we don't keep Easter or Christmas. And frankly, it was kind of nice not to hear in some places, "Have a Merry Christmas." I'd rather have them just say, "Have a good day." But there's this idea, well, we got this war on Christmas. Well, we don't believe in Christmas. And so there is even a difference between the evangelicals and even us. I hope we understand that. I hope we understand that. There is a big difference. So we've got to make sure we do not become Babylonians from whatever side, from the morality of the those who are just throwing it all away, or from the super religious. Remember in Christ's day, who was attacking Jesus Christ? The religious leaders. So we have to understand, we got to make sure we don't become Babylonian from either side. So here we are, another year in man's calendar, 2017. Now what do we do? You know, I was hoping we'd be in the kingdom by now, you know, years ago. When it turned 2000, we thought, hey, we're entering a new, you know, century. We'll be in the kingdom by now. Well, we're here. We're here. Now what do we do? You know, in the last couple of years since being here, we've spent the first Sabbath of man's new year, and we discussed the direction of the world and the direction of the church. Now, we know the direction of this nation is pretty clear. We can understand that. Morally, it's going away from God. And the direction of the church is clear as well. We are trying as much as possible to stay close to God. The question we need to ask ourselves, what are we going to be like at the end of this man's year of 2017. Are we going to be more godly, or are we going to be more like the world, like Babylon? So the title of the sermon today is Being Godly in an Ungodly World. Being Godly in an Ungodly World. If you look at any website about the predictions for 2017, they are very unpredictable. It's hard to know what really is going to happen, and only God really knows. When you look at the economy, you have a number of economists that say, well, it looks like it may improve. And you see some indicators that it does. Then you have dozens of economists saying, we have reached some bubbles in the economy, and it's going to have some difficult times toward the middle of the year. And there's a grave concern for that. Europe also is at crossroads, especially with the Brexit, Britain leaving the EU, and that's going to be going through this coming year. But other nations are now wanting to get out of the EU, including France, including Italy. And what's going to happen there? I don't know. We have to wait and see. This report came out of AFP. AFP is a French news agency. And this story was picked up by a number of news agencies here in this country. And the report headlined, Hitler's Mein Kampf is a bestseller in Germany. Now that's really unusual because, see, for 70 years, Germany was not publishing the book. And the publishing house earlier last year began to publish it because it got into the public domain. It was able to get into the public domain. So it was withheld for 70 years due to the respect of those who went through the Holocaust. But now the book is quite popular. It's a bestseller. I want to mention something that was in this article. The book set out two ideas that Hitler put into practice as Germany's leader going into World War II, annexing neighboring countries to gain Lebensraum, you know, living space, and for Germans, and his hatred of the Jews, which led to the Holocaust. Some 12.4 million copies were published in Germany at that time, 12.4 million copies. And from 1936, the Nazi state gave a copy to all newlyweds as a wedding gift. I never knew that. And now it's becoming a popular bestseller. They are now into their sixth printing edition since last year as it became in the public domain. There are continuing concerns that Russia is using its involvement in the war against ISIS to protect its own interests there in Syria. How's that all going to play out? And then you have ISIS attacks. How many more will there be? And what we saw, what was it yesterday, with what happened down in Fort Lauderdale at the airport? You know, that's why all of us are really needing to pray for protection every day, wherever we may be, because anything can happen anywhere. And we need to ask God to protect us and, of course, his people. Let's look at Matthew 24, and let's look at a few other things here. Matthew 24, and let's look at verse 6. Matthew 24 and verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So there will be news of war this coming year. It'll be commonplace. The end is not yet. But we're also told there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. And these things will increase. What was it? Last week there was an earthquake in Fiji. You know, these plates are moving around, the plates under the surface of the earth. There were 250 some tremors in Southern California last weekend. And it really has concerned the scientists and, of course, those who live there of what that might portray, because the San Andreas fault line is tied into the fault area down in that part of the country. Also this weekend, I did not know this till looking at one meteorologist's report about the atmospheric river that's about ready to come into California this weekend. And this is actually a river that is a mile above the atmosphere, and it contains the moisture as it comes off the Pacific Ocean, and it begins to flow in this river, a river that is about 250 miles wide and has enough moisture in it that would contain 10 Mississippi rivers. And this is all flowing into California this week. And they call it the atmospheric river, which they now mention that it can result into 6 feet of snow in the Sierras and 12 inches of rain under 8,500 feet. And Northern California and the residents there are very concerned as to what will happen this week. Now, we know that California has been in a drought. And when you get that much water and rain and going through those valleys, you're going to have millions and millions of dollars, as what happened 10 years ago. And the same type of phenomena that's occurring this coming week, the next 3 days. These things are happening. We see what the Bible is saying. And then we see epidemics. If you get a chance, you know, read this. It's a fascinating article in the latest Discern about epidemics. Then, of course, we see the morality in this country plummeting. According to Forbes magazine, Los Angeles is predicted to be the marijuana capital of the United States, with $1 billion worth of revenue coming in from marijuana. Just marijuana. That's more than the entire state of Colorado with their marijuana business. So we see drug use continuing. And they're finding more drug-induced drivers these days. And you wonder how this can continue, how this type of activity can continue. But you see drug use, you see the immorality continuing, the murder rates rising as never before. You know, my hometown is Chicago. You know, they just increase more and more and more. When will it stop? The holy people cannot make anyone holy. The unclean will make even what is holy unclean if we're not careful. So we have to be careful that what's going on around us doesn't affect us, and yet we must maintain our holiness. We must maintain it. God is the only one that can call a person. He's the only one that can do so. And we'll talk about that in a little bit later. Now, I know that it can be depressing to hear some of these things. I know that a lot of us really don't like to hear negativity, especially our teens and our young people. They want to see, you know, that they have some future. Now, we all know that our real future is in the coming kingdom of God, but I think all of us want things to settle down. I think all Americans want America to become great. And maybe there might be some respite. There could be. There's some news that, and there could be some positive things in the next year or so with the new president, new administration. It's a possibility. But the reality is, and the truth of the matter is, America won't become great until Christ returns. That's the reality, and that's what we must continue to look forward to, is the coming kingdom of God. So as we see these things developing on the world scene, and we're living in this type of society among the evils, we're to do what we're supposed to do. settle and be able to continue to do the righteous works of God. And in this society, we find something else in verse 13. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We're not yet saved. The end has not yet occurred. We're going to have to live through some tough times, and we're going to have to endure what will become as a result of national individual sins. We're going to have to endure that as time goes by. We have got to be ourselves clear of sin. We go to God daily and ask Him to please forgive us. He asks us to ask for forgiveness. We ask Him to keep us from the evil one. And we must not become like Babylon. I know we see the evils. I know we see the inequities. I know we see the hypocrisy and the bias that's in the news. I know we see that, and it frustrates us. And it can perplex us. It can get us discouraged. But we've got to maintain the righteousness that God gave to us through His Holy Spirit. We've got to maintain the obedience to God as He's called us to do. Let's realize something else is going to occur in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel will be preached, and not just in one or two countries, but across the entire world as a witness. This is becoming extremely difficult to do in this world, in a world that doesn't care for religion and doesn't care for God or His laws. And yet, we're told that the gospel must be preached. Now, we understand that the Bible speaks of the two witnesses in the future who will be preaching the gospel. We understand that there's going to be an angel that will be preaching the everlasting gospel. We understand that. But see, we're talking about in the context of us living in these end times. And so we see that this is a responsibility that God is placing on His people, that He wants the gospel to be preached. And it needs to be preached. And the goal of preaching the gospel is to be a witness. That's a different goal than what most evangelical churches have. Their goal is to save people, to come to Jesus and you be saved. All you need to do is call upon His name. This is a different goal than what God has than what's out there in the world around us. We are not on a soul-saving crusade. We are there to make sure and do our part that the gospel is preached as a witness. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? This particular Greek word means testimony or a declaration of fact. The gospel will be preached as a declaration of the fact that Jesus died for our sins. That's part of the message. That He was resurrected, now sits at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. And that He will return as King of Kings and set up His kingdom. It's all part of the gospel message. God will have that preached. And from biblical times, even from the time of Seth and Noah and Abraham, the gospel has been and will be preached. God wants people to know that there was at least the message out there, the news of His truth. And whether people yield to it now or later, that's up to God. But I believe God's going to say in the future to some of these people, look, it was there. It was there. Either you didn't want to listen to it, but it was there. I made it available. So it will be available as a proclamation. Let's look at this principle over here in Luke 19. Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 37. Then as He was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This was an acclamation here of Jesus Christ as a king. Now we know that this is going to be similar to when he returns and he's coronated. But we see a principle that if the church, made up of all of Christ's disciples, does not do this as these people were doing, then something that God's going to make sure it's done. Let's continue. Some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he, Jesus, answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." So God is going to have his work done. And he's using us as the church to do this. The truth of the coming kingdom of God will be preached as a declaration of fact that it will happen. What is taught today by most, such as going to heaven, as we heard, a lot of people believe that, no need to obey the Sabbath, that all clouds this truth of the gospel message. So we have an obligation to state this declaration in our literature, in our media productions, and every week here at church. And we hear the message every week because it comes from the Bible. And we talk about it, or at least we should be talking about it to one another, about the coming kingdom of God. That's the direction that God's given the church. The world and this nation are following the influences of the devil. And of course, they are going to reap the consequences of sin. The church, on the other hand, has to continue to be righteous. We have to continue to be righteous. And that comes, of course, from God's Spirit living in us. And we have to proclaim the gospel message. So let's take a little bit of time here and notice what the church is planning to do this coming year. I want to go over the mission statement first of all. The mission statement is based on Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And we've discussed this the past few years. But there are three parts of the mission statement. The first part is preach the gospel to the world as a witness. The second part is make disciples throughout the world of those whom God may call. We can't make disciples of everybody. It's only those whom God may call. And God is doing the calling. And those whom he calls, then we make disciples of those whom he calls. And then, point number three, teach those disciples to observe all that Christ commands. So the church is to preach the gospel as a witness. As those people are being called by God, they want to know more about the truth. And so the church then helps them to become disciples, helps them to see their sins, to repent of their sins, and then to be baptized. And then the church is to continue to teach the disciples, as we do every week, week after week, every holy day after holy day, teach everything that Christ commands. That's a hefty responsibility all of us are involved in together. All of us are together. It's more than what we are here in St. Louis. We are all part of something bigger than what we are right here. We're part of the church of God. And this is the direction God has placed upon his church throughout all ages. So with this in mind, I want to review the recently approved plans by the Ministerial Board of Directors for this coming year, the direction it will be taking. And there's a couple of things we're going to be looking at. Update you on some things. I think we're all aware of the fact that the Church of God, a worldwide association, was incorporated on December 23rd, 2010. I can't believe that. 2010, we are 2017. So God has certainly watched over us these last 6 years, which I believe he has. Let me give you a couple of statistics. There are currently 210 credentialed elders serving in 270 congregations around the world. 107 of those congregations are here in the United States. The high attendance of all congregations put together is just a little over 5,100 in the United States. It's interesting that in that 5,100 figure, about 23% of that figure are those under age 20, 19 and under. So almost a quarter of the congregation is under age 20. Yet the number of our contacts in our database is over 9,000. So if you have 5,000 attending and 9,000 in the database, that means about 4,000 have their names and emails as they're showing some interest in the church. The church employs 76 people, including pastors and elders, and 22 of that 76 are those working at headquarters. We're very small, quite small, in fact. So, you know, we're not very large. But even so, one of the blessings from God's mercy and love has been the income. In 2011, the income was $8.7 million. This last year, after everything's tabulated, it's predicted to be about $11.7 million. So within these number of years, 6 years, it's risen about $3 million. I mean, this is God's doing. This is God's doing. The percentage of income from non-members has now risen to 13% of the total. We would call this co-worker income. Now, last year, that amount was 10%. So in 1 year, the percentage of those who donate who are not members, who are not attending, is about 3% more. But that's still a long way to go from where we used to be in the Church of God years and years ago, when that percentage was about 15 to 20%. Coming in from co-workers. We all are able to receive a printed copy of One Accord. We also receive the Discern magazine, and the current subscriptions to the Discern magazine is about 7,200. 500 are asking to be added to the Discern magazine listing every month. At least in the last few months, 500 regularly have been asking to be added to the Discern magazine. Now, if you're not receiving it, I'm finding more and more members who, for some reason or another, have not been receiving the In Accord or the Discern magazine, please let me know, because we want to make sure you're on the mailing list to get the In Accord and the, the One Accord and the Discern. We have now 7 booklets in print. 2 more are coming out this coming year. One is the title, Is the Bible True? Now, that's based on the 7-part series that was written by Mr. Franks in Discern Magazine. So they're taking all those series and putting them together in one booklet. So we'll receive that this coming year. And then the other booklet is The Powerful Proofs of God. That was a 4-part series in Discern, and that is... those articles were superb, and that will be a booklet as well. These will be sent to members, and we want to make sure that you are on the mailing list for that. If you're not getting the booklets, please let me know of that as well. What's really interesting is that this past year, the booklet, Change Your Life, which is the action step. You know, all these articles and everything should lead to an action step, and the action step is we've got to change our life. We got to do something. We got to repent and be baptized, receive God's Holy Spirit. That booklet, Change Your Life, was downloaded this past year over 17,000 times. Now remember, we only have about 5,100 coming to church. 17,000 times. That is a 235% increase in 1 year from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now, on the Kagwa website, members were able to access the weekly In Accord, which I hope we're watching every week on the Sabbath. In the areas where we were before, we used to watch it for the sermonette time. But since most, and because a lot of the members there in West Virginia and Virginia were not on the internet, I shouldn't say most, but many weren't, and they weren't able to see it at home, so we had it as a sermonette. most every time. But most of you have internet access, and I would really encourage you to watch these every week. I know it's been a habit of ours to do this on Friday night. It kind of sets the Sabbath, and you could watch the Inner Chord. We have the weekly FI online classes on Wednesday night. I would take advantage of those. If you can't watch it Wednesday night, at least tune in on another night. The monthly Friday night live study, mainly for young adults, but there are some times it's beneficial for the entire church. Life and Hope continues to expand with articles, etc., and audios of articles, but that's especially on the Learning Center. Now, again, I do say we are small, and, you know, God grants the growth. We've got to always acknowledge that. But it's interesting that in the last couple of months, there's been a steady rise in those who are logging on to the Life, Hope, and Truth website to the point that we have almost 1 million unique visitors coming on to Life, Hope, and Truth every month. And what's more important, see, because people will click on it, you know, they may only stay for a second or two, or they may stay longer, but what's really interesting about the statistics is that about 25%, or 250,000, are returning in the next month. They're coming back. So you got about a quarter of 1 million people coming back every month. The goal for this year is to use online advertising in order to somehow, you know, encourage people to come on to Life, Hope, and Truth, and then keep them longer on the site. Now, it can be very challenging. When you go on to Life, Hope, and Truth, where do you go? There's so many articles. There's over 1,000 articles on Life, Hope, and Truth. Where do you go? Where do you read? What do you read first? And so, if you've read the latest Discern magazine about these journeys that one can sign up for, what it is a daily lesson that you receive in the email, your email, and it will lead you to certain scriptures and certain articles on that particular lesson. And it helps people navigate to the site and specific articles. And the plans, those journeys are Knowing God, The Problem of Evil, and The Plan of God. And they've all gone through the Doctrine Committee review. And I find that they're very interesting because they lead from one step to the next. And then you got a couple scriptures, and then you got an article or two to read. It kind of guides you in that. So that's something that's just started this year. There's also going to be a development of some apps for mobile devices for those who like mobile devices. I've got a track phone, and I don't know what a smartphone is. I guess smartphones are for smart people, so I've got my track phone. But people like apps. And so they're going to become available this coming year for mobile devices, and that'll include videos, Kagwa TV, where you could receive sermons, that type of thing, daily Bible verse, feast calendars, that type of thing. And as time goes by, we're going to see more and more of Life, Hope, and Truth on social media, especially using Facebook in particular. I want to mention a few other issues that are going to be addressed this coming year. We all received the member letter last night that I sent out from Mr. Franks. Again, I hope we're taking time to reading those letters. I do not take the time during the announcements to read from the letters because I'm assuming that when we get them in our email, we are interested in finding out the direction of the church and we would want to read these letters. And I would really encourage you to do that. If you don't have internet access, let us know and we will have copies on the back table for you to read. But Mr. Franks, in his latest member letter, has asked all of us to pray about this issue, about the facility development, and even to take a day to fast in the next month or so, whenever we could find time in our convenience. And I think we all realize about the need to fast we all need to do that from time to time, because we need to be humble before God. We don't want to do our own thing. We want to do God's will. We want to be humble. And so the headquarters facility is at capacity. We need more space to be able to even fulfill our mailing operations. So the search for land is in the process to build a modest-sized building. And again, from the letter, Mr. Franks mentioned that, I mean, it looks like almost $900,000 was added to the reserves, and that gives us many more weeks over the 10 weeks we have. And so there will be money there to buy the land, and then we would just have to get a mortgage for the building. But that's all in the letter, and I would encourage you to read that more. Leadership development. In the United States, two men are going to be retiring every year for the next few years, and then beginning in about another 3 years, we're going to see up to 4 to 5 men retiring. We're all getting older. You know, and I'm kind of one of the younger ones. Well, not really the younger ones, but, you know, I'm not in my 70s yet. I'm nearing there, but I'm not there yet. But there are a number who are in their 70s. And a number are just not able to keep up with everything, and I think we're all aware of that. So there are still needs. So Foundation Institute will still be operating. Young Adult Weekends will be taking place over the President's Day weekend. That will continue. The Focus Mentoring Program will continue, as well as leadership training programs locally held. And especially this is a problem for the international areas. They don't have as many pastors and ministers full-time, and those pastors are getting older and are retiring, and there is a need for that. So there is that need for leadership development within the church. Even those of us who are pastors are receiving continuing education classes twice a year. So in the spring and in the fall, we're able to sit right there at our computers and watch some seminars that are given from the home office pastors there. And there will be an international ministerial conference in May of this year. Foundation Outreach International, these programs provide scholarships for needy members in the Philippines and in Africa, educational programs are available, as well as, the helping out at camp, like at Ghana, in Ghana or in Kenya. And I do send this out to our young adults, those who might be more interested in that. I do send that information out as it comes. The funding for all these sources, all these activities has already been secured this year. The average budget is about $75,000. Every year, and that usually is coming in from fundraising and donations and matching corporate funds, which is helping to support Foundation Outreach International. The corporate database has been installed, and we're still, trying to make sure that the glitches are out of it, but it'll be easier for you to register for the feast, to register for the youth camps, to register for winter family weekends and other events. And also we'll help the office staff correspond to coworkers so that they can receive more information about the church. Of course, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we may not realize. Many people are wearing a lot of different hats, doing things behind the scenes. And we're all committed, and we're all trying to work together. We're trying to pitch in wherever necessary. Ministerial services helps the media department. The media department helps ministerial services. And both communicate regularly with, of course, the president and with the treasurer, Mr. Britton Taylor. And he's tasked with overseeing the budget, which is going to be about 3 to 4% higher than last year in both income and expenses for last year. It's also interesting that We're down. Last year we were down about $130,000 in expenses that were budgeted. And one of the things that we've been able to do here in the St. Louis area, because of our ability to move here from where we were over up nearby the airport, we've been able to save the church about $10,000 in rent for this whole year. That's phenomenal. And that's because God blessed us with this facility, which I believe He has. And so, we're all trying to do our part. And again, God's been merciful to us. But this is what Mr. Taylor wrote in his report. And I quote, "As we enter our seventh year, we acknowledge our Father in heaven as the provider of all that we have. We thank Him for our many and varied blessings. Once again, the church is the recipient of God's fiscal blessings. The income has been strong and steady, and our expenses have been in line with our expectations." So when Mr. Frank sent out this material to the ministry of what occurred with the ministerial board of directors, he concluded his letter with the following comments. I want to read two paragraphs here. Three, actually. "What lies ahead for the Church of God, a worldwide association? We see the world being torn apart. We must pray every day for God's protection for His people. In the midst of all of that, we still believe that God has a work to be done. If we continue doing our part and humbling ourselves before Him and praying fervently for open doors, we believe there's much that can be accomplished in the years ahead." He goes on to say, "We live in an age when the most amazing tool for communication ever seen is the internet. And it is growing and is yet to reach its potential. Half the world's population currently has access to the internet. That means 3.7 billion out of a population of 7.4 billion. That's a 900% increase since the year 2000. 3.7 billion have access to the internet. It has been estimated by the year 2020, or by the year 2020, it's three more years from now, it's expected that 85% of the world's population will have access to information over the internet. That's amazing when you think about it, since the gospel is to go to the whole world. Mr. Franks went on to say, "We intend to take every advantage of every open door that comes before us before the preaching of the gospel. Currently, that door is without doubt the internet. At least that's the one door we're looking at predominantly. We intend to do our very best to take care of God's precious saints around the world." So both things, we're focusing on going through the internet with the preaching of the gospel and doing our very best to take care of the church. All of us who have been called into the church. If we stick to the plan and draw close to God, the future looks bright, even as the world grows darker. And he thanks everyone for their support for the work of the church, because it's truly a labor of love for all of us. So in conclusion, let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42. "The Lord said, 'Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season?' And it's a question. Who will be made the faithful and wise steward? Verse 43 is the answer. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. This applies to each one of us. To do the work. We need to be involved in the work of the church, as God has placed us in the body. So how do we do that? How do we, let's say, is faithful? How do we make sure we're faithful and wise and that we are doing what He wants, doing when He comes? Are there some specifics we can do? And I believe there are. I believe there are, I mean, we could put out a whole bunch of points on this, but three in particular I believe is important. Number one, we need to support and encourage one another. Why? Because we are the family of God, meeting here in St. Louis. I mean, there are other congregations and people elsewhere, but right here we gather together and we need to support and encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. You know, and there are people going through some very serious difficulties in life, some health issues and some facing job situations and some facing just all kinds of other issues. And we need to be concerned for one another and help one another. It wouldn't be wrong to take a list of the members and go through and pray for everyone. Ask God to be with everyone. We all know one another. I don't know what kind of world we'll see the rest of this year, how bad it will get. And we need one another. That's for certain. So when we come to church, we can be encouraged by one another. Secondly, I believe we need to ask God to help us do His will. We want His will in our lives, not our own. We want His will to guide and direct us in our lives. We want to be righteous, His righteousness. We don't want to be like Babylonians. We don't want to be like this society because God has called us out of that society. So we need to pray that God will help us do His will to come out of this world from both angles, from both sides. We need to come out and do His will. And point number three, for those of us who are blessed and do have an increase that comes in, we need to be faithfully tithing and faithfully planning to give to God on His holy days so that we can be doing our work to support the work financially. A lot of all that we've talked about does take financial monies to do things, even for the rentals of the hall. And so God does bless His tithe payers and those who set aside His offerings for the holy days. And we must continue to do that. Don't be discouraged if you have a hit in your income or a hit in your increase, because God may be testing us to see what we do with what we've been given. And I believe if we support and encourage each other, praying for each other, if we're really praying to God to help us maintain His righteousness and not be a Babylonian, and if we continue our tithing and giving of offerings, I believe we're going to be doing what it says here, that we're going to be found so doing when He comes. As this world and nation descend into one direction, the Church of God is moving in another direction. The Church of God is going to do God's will by preaching the gospel and by taking care of those whom God has called. You and I have been placed in the greatest work on earth, the work of God, being in His church. And so as we move forward this year, and I believe we're all going to move forward, we need to continue to do our part individually and collectively together. And let's conclude here with what Christ said in verse 44. Truly I say to you that He will make Him ruler over all that He has. There's a time coming, just as the Jews realized that for a while they had to stay in Babylon, but they couldn't be like Babylonians, but there was a time they were going to come back into the land. We do know at some time, we don't know the exact year because we don't know that, but there is coming a time Christ will return and we will be given this opportunity to rule with Jesus Christ in the millennium to help those people there. And then later, after the 1,000 years, all those billions upon billions of people that we can teach the truth. That's a part of the work we are in. And I just wanted to review the direction of the nation and the church.